You know, now and then we teach on healing. And I shared with you last time, for those of you that were with us, I shared with you how that it's been a concern of mine, because whenever we do teach on healing, it seems like when we have an altar call for prayer, which is okay, we want people to come up for prayer if they need prayer for healing. But, you know, I just feel sometimes, why so many need healing? You understand what I'm saying? You know, we need to have more testimonies of people receiving healing in their bodies, supernatural healing. And if I get a chance next week, I'm going to have sheets available for testimonies to be written out, because you know those testimonies of you receiving healing in your body are a great blessing and encouragement to other people. Would you say amen to that? Amen. And so we're going to have testimony sheets so you can fill that out and be an encouragement. Some of those, with your permission, I'll read to the congregation. And I believe that that's going to help people and minister to people as well. But we're going to get into the Word today. As you know, in Romans 10 and verse 17, regarding salvation, it says, and the preaching of the gospel, it states there in Romans 10, 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, that's true about the gospel being preached in order for people to receive eternal life, but it's also true concerning other truths from the Word of God. The more you hear it, the more you're going to believe it. Would you agree with that? In fact, the more you hear, whatever you hear the most of, chances are you're going to believe it the most, right? In fact, I remember reading years ago that the statistics show that those that hear themselves say things are more apt to believe what they hear themselves say than what they hear anybody else say, even if the other person's saying the same thing. There's something about you speaking, in our case, speaking the truths of the Word of God. And we're going to have an opportunity to do that today as well, if I can get that far anyway. Now, last week, I shared this with you. I read it from my notes, but I want to give it to you up on the big screen so you can see this. And it's related to what we're talking about, but it's kind of a preliminary. And then I'm going to review a few things, and then we're going to get into what I want to deal with today. Am I talking too fast? Can you keep up all right? Because I'm going to talk faster probably by the time it's all said and done. All right. And so I gave you this, you know, concerning medical science. More and more, they are realizing that faith and believing in God, believing in Jesus Christ, and attending church are good for you, even physically and emotionally. And you'll notice here, Jeff Levin, which I think is a Jewish man, I don't think he's a believer in Christ, in his book, God, Faith, and Health, Exploring the Spirituality, Healing Connection, notice what he said. Scientists at Johns Hopkins University, using data from an epidemiologic census, big word for me, about epidemics. You see the word epidemic. The epidemiologic census of more than 90,000 people found that less than monthly religious attendance doubled and even tripled the risk of death due to arteriosclerotic heart disease. In other words, problems with your arteries in your heart, right? And pulmonary emphysema, cirrhosis of the liver, suicide, and cancers of the rectum and the colon. What is that saying? That's saying that statistically they have shown that if you attend church less than once a month, it affects your health substantially, doesn't it? That's amazing. I don't know if any of you find that amazing, but I find that amazing. And there's many other statistics, many other reports concerning that. And so, like I said last week, you know, you need to come to church as much as you can, because it's good for what ails you. Even if you don't like the preacher, it's just good to be gathered together. Amen. Amen. It's good for your health. It's good for your well-being. Now, getting back to some of the things we talked about last week as well, Exodus chapter 15, verses 22 through 26. If you have a Bible or a Bible app, it would be good for you to look at it in there. This is one of God's promises to Israel, not all of them. There's several times God promises Israel concerning healing in the Old Covenant. And remembering, as I state that in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6, the writer of Hebrews states that you and I, as believers in Christ on this side of the cross, we have a better covenant established upon better promises. And so if healing was under the old covenant for Israel, it is certainly under the new covenant for those that are believers in Jesus Christ today. Amen. And so we contend for that. In Exodus chapter 15, I do have it up on the screen. I'm going to read it to you. Is everybody ready? Are you awake today? All right. Exodus chapter 15, beginning with verse 22, it reads this way. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah, which meant bitter. which had the idea of being poisonous, by the way. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them. And there he tested them and said, now notice now, here's the promise to Israel. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. Notice the last sentence, for I am the Lord who heals you. For I am the Lord who heals you. Now in the Hebrew, that would be Yahweh. Rapha or Jehovah Rapha. I am Jehovah Rapha, the one who heals you, so to speak. And so he said to Israel that if you'll do what I say, if you follow me, if you'll obey my word, then I will bring healing into your life and you'll be free from sickness and disease. Is everybody with me here? All right. And so just to follow that a little bit more, turn with me, if you will, to Exodus. I didn't have this plan, but I think that it's important that we look at it. Exodus, also, this time, chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23. Is everybody good? Everybody awake, right? All right, Exodus chapter 23. When you're there, say yes. All right, so Exodus chapter 23, God reiterates this and kind of, you know, again, I think that even in the Old Testament, the idea is that God repeated his promises to them because, again, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. And so here in Exodus chapter 23, we see beginning with verse 25, Exodus 23, 25, it says this, "So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in the land. I will fulfill the number of your days." Now, we could read further, but we won't for sake of time. But notice what he says. Again, he says, if you'll serve the Lord, if you'll serve the Lord your God, he's going to bless you, and then he's going to take sickness from the midst of you. And there's a promise there concerning miscarriages, etc. And so, again, we see God promising Israel that he is their healer. Now, last time we were together, last week, we mentioned the fact that there are at least, there's eight redemptive names of God. Now, some people will say seven. I've added another one because I think it applies as well. What do we mean by redemptive names? Names that God revealed himself to his people that had to do with what he did for them in terms of redeeming them. All right? And so, again, we saw, as we just read, he is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. He is, and he reveals himself as Jehovah M. Kadesh, or the Lord who sanctifies, and we talked about all this. I'm not going to elaborate on it again because it's going to take too much of my time, but different times in the scriptures, Old Testament in particular, he revealed himself by different names because each of those names revealed a different facet of his character. Does that make sense? We believe in one God, but he revealed himself at different times with different names in order to reveal a different facet of his character and what he wanted to be to his people, to his covenant people. And so he was called, or called himself, Jehovah M. Kadesh, the Lord who sanctifies or makes holy. Jehovah Sikhanu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Rea, the Lord my shepherd. Jehovah Jireh is the Lord that sees and provides. Jehovah Shalom is the Lord my peace. Jehovah Shammah is the Lord is present. And Jehovah Nisi, the Lord, my banner or my victory. And so we looked at those to a certain extent, and we came to the realization that Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament. And so I would submit to you, does Jesus sanctify us today under this new covenant? Then therefore he is Jehovah M. Kadesh. Jesus is our sanctification. 1 Corinthians 1:30 makes it clear, as do many other scriptures. Is Jesus our Jehovah Sidkenu, our righteousness? The answer to that is yes, he has made us righteous, not by our own righteousness, but by his righteousness. As we place our faith in him, we're declared righteous in Christ. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, it says this. At 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, he who knew no sin, that's Jesus, he knew no sin, was made to be sin for us, that what? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What a great thing. What a wonderful thing. What a demonstration of his love for us, in that he took our unrighteousness and had it judged on the cross. He himself, having no unrighteousness, bore the penalty for yours and my unrighteousness so that we could be receiving his righteousness. What an awesome thing. And so Jesus is our Jehovah Tsidkenu, if you remember the names. He is our Jehovah Rea. How many of you know the Lord is our shepherd? Amen. He said, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. He is the one who sees and provides. And my God, remember it says, as we mentioned this before, that he said that in Philippians 4 and verse 19, and my God, as they gave of their finances, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He's still our provider today. He's Jehovah Shalom, the Lord my peace. How many of you know he said in John chapter 14 and 27, he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Aren't you glad for supernatural peace that we can walk in? Now, it doesn't come automatically. Now, you need to walk in it and believe God for it, but it's on the inside of you. It's available to every believer. He is Jehovah Shammah. He is always present. He said, Lord, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And then Jehovah Nissi is the Lord, my banner, my victory. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 says, thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. How many of you know in Christ we've got the victory? Amen. And so again, I say to you and declare to you that the Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament. And so we saw a number of things with this. And I mentioned this to you, and I wanted to show it to you. I just felt like I wanted to. Hopefully, I'm not going to mess myself up and run out of time. But last week, if you were with us, I shared the testimony of a couple of ladies that came to our home, and they were Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, this is going to help somebody. Maybe it'll help you be equipped to share with them as well. And so I asked them, are you Jehovah's Witnesses? And they said, yes. And I said, I'm also a witness of Jehovah, but the difference is I believe Jesus is Jehovah. And here's a great scripture you might want to use. Romans 10, 8 through 13, it says this. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth, what? The Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus. Some translations will say Jesus is Lord. That you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. There's that word righteousness again. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. That's a quote from Isaiah chapter 8. And then it goes on, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now that word Lord from Joel chapter 2 and verse 32, Joel, Old Testament, J-O-E-L, Joel 2:32 is that quote at the very end. And in the Hebrew of the Old Testament, it is Yahweh or Jehovah. And so they in their New World Translation, which is a perverted translation of the Bible, they have the name for the latter part. They have the name Jehovah there. And so I pointed out to these ladies, now notice now, in the Greek, which is the New Testament original language, in the Greek, the word Lord that you have translated, saying to these ladies, the word you have translated as Jehovah is the same Greek word up here where it says the Lord Jesus. And so that's Jehovah Jesus. And so Jesus is Jehovah. Do you get that? Amen. The Bible makes it clear, and it even works in their New World Translation. And so perhaps you'll have an opportunity to share that with Jehovah's Witnesses. But why do I share that with you? Because again, substantiating the fact that when he said, I'm the Lord, your healer, he is Jehovah Rapha. Jesus is Jehovah. Jesus is yours and my healer. Amen. Amen. So important for us to understand and to realize this as well. All right, let's go on with some of these other things. All right, notice what Duffield and Van Cleve said. In the light of all that is revealed, up on the screen, in the light of all that is revealed in the scriptures, it is not to be thought unreasonable that the Lord should heal the physical afflictions of those who seek his aid. The thought to be emphasized is that based on the word of God, what it reveals about God's will, his purpose, and his power, it is wholly reasonable to believe that God is interested in the physical human bodies of those who are his children through the new birth. Now, it's going to go on. I'm going to read some other things with this, but one of the things I emphasized last week or attempted to was that God values our bodies as well. And, you know, sometimes you've heard say, and I've even said it, that we are a spirit because the Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. So, you know, in general, we think of, three parts to the human being, spirit, soul, and body. But sometimes we've said that we are a spirit, we have a soul, which is usually understood as mind, will, and emotions, and we live in a body. Now, if we're not careful, that devalues the body. But the reality of it is, when we really get down to it, I don't know that that's really accurate, because we're a whole person, spirit, soul, and body. All of that is us. You understand what I'm saying? And someday, we understand from Scripture, someday if we die before Jesus comes, or before, after we have, if we die before He comes again, there's going to come a day when our bodies in the ground are going to be resurrected. It's the same body, but it's immortal. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so one day, the day's going to come when throughout eternity, we're going to be joined, spirit, soul, and body, all three parts of us together with an immortal body and a totally renewed soul, mind, will, and emotions, healed emotionally, no brokenness in our emotions whatsoever, and we're going to be whole in every regard, spirit, soul, and body throughout eternity. Amen? Is everybody with me? And so again, we understand that God values the body. We should value the body and do whatever we can to take care of it, et cetera, with natural means as well. That's all part of it as well. But the point is this. Some people have this idea that God doesn't care about the body. He only cares about the spiritual. And granted, the spiritual is the most important, because it has to do whether or not where we spend eternity. But nevertheless, God has given us a body, and we need to take care of it, because this is the only body we're going to have, other than the fact it's going to be changed one day to immortality. It's the only body we got on this planet Earth right now. Isn't that right? Now notice, as Duffield and Van Cleve go on with this, the condition of the body affects the soul. And this is still review and then some. The condition of the body affects the soul. Having a healthy body can lead to a cheerful disposition, while being sick can lead to a sadness or even depression. Likewise, the condition of the soul and spirit also affect the body. Good news can produce in people a feeling of physical exhilaration, while sad news can lead to physical fatigue. The condition of the soul, spirit, and body are interconnected. Therefore, God has made provision for all aspects of the human condition and cares about the spiritual and physical health of every individual. I want to submit to you this and just encourage you today that God cares about your health. He cares about your health, yes, emotionally, mentally. He also cares about your health physically. He cares about that. Are you following me? You need to know He loves you and He wants you well. There's no question, as we study Scripture, and we're going to see some things today, as we study Scriptures, I want you to know that God wants you healthy. God wants you healthy, because sickness is a curse. We're going to see that more and more. Now, T.L. Osborne, I know that some of you may have heard of T.L. Osborne, a great evangelist. He's in heaven now. If he wasn't, he'd be like 100-some years old. He's in heaven now. And we had an opportunity to meet him many years ago, and it was just such a blessing. But T.L. Osborne said this in this book, Legacy of Faith. He said, people who are being born today need miracles. They need to see Jesus the same as people who were born in Bible days. The church was established for the people then, but God reestablishes Himself for every new generation. He is as real today as He ever was, and He wants to prove it. That is why the theme of our crusades around the world has always been Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. That's Hebrews 13 and verse 8. How many of you know that God wants to show people that Jesus is alive? And one way He shows them is by miracles and signs and wonders and healings of people's bodies. Amen? And so in Acts chapter 4 and verse 33, it says this. It says, and with great power the apostles gave witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. And so in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, it says they gave witness, gave testimony that Jesus is resurrected. The way they did it was with the power of God manifested in signs, wonders, miracles, and healings. And yet today, although it happens in other countries in many respects, today in America, we don't see that the way we need to see it. And the only way I know that we can see more miracles, signs, and wonders for the sake, if nothing else, for the sake of the lost, but yes, because He loves those that need miracles, but for the sake of the lost, we need to be believing God. And the only way I know in order for us to begin to do that or begin to believe God more is by teaching it, showing in the Scriptures, getting our minds renewed to the Word of God, and having an expectation for miracles, an expectation for healing. Because I dare say the majority of believers, none of you, but the majority of believers throughout our land, this nation, they don't come to God expecting healing or expecting a miracle, but they come hoping so, wishing so, and then therefore they never receive. Are you following what I'm saying? Now let's look at some things, the origin of sickness. And this is going to be a series. I don't know how long it's going to be, but it's going to be a series yet. And I'm going to be sharing some things with you. And I encourage you to take notes if you can. Next Saturday, the following Saturday of any given Sunday, it's going to be on YouTube so you can listen to it again. But we really want to get this into us, not only for the sake of those that may be sick, but how about for your sake so that you can minister healing to others? Amen. This isn't just for us, for ourselves to be healed or healthy. It's also for us to be built up and be expecting that when we pray for others, they're going to receive healing as well. Is everybody okay with that? Because it's not just inward. It's not just a self. It's not selfish. It's the idea that we want to be a blessing and a help to other people as well. And then therefore also show people that Jesus is alive. He is alive. Now, it says this, William Menzies and Stanley Horton in a book called Bible Doctrines, they said this, the devil himself, and they were scholars, they're both in heaven now, the devil himself is the author of sickness and death. God should not be blamed for human tragedy and misery. They are the product of the devil's work, James 1:17. Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, Acts 10:38. That Satan, the adversary, is responsible for the physical as well as the spiritual bondage in which people find themselves is strongly supported by the Bible, and they give several scriptures, a few which we'll talk about today and maybe beyond. And so, again, we understand then that sickness and disease came into the world by way of the fall of humanity. Before the fall, there was no sickness or disease, was there? And so who was the one who tempted our original parents, Adam and Eve? Who's the one that tempted them in order so that they might fall into sin? It was Satan, right? And so again, there was no sickness and disease until they fell into sin. It says in Romans 5 and verse 12, it says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin. And so again, Romans 5:12 tells us one man, who's the one man? That's Adam, right? It says, by one man, sin entered the world. That is, by way of Adam, sin entered the world, and death through sin. And how, you know, somebody said, in fact, I think I have the quote in a couple of minutes, that death is sickness matured. In other words, most people die due to sickness, first of all. Isn't that right? And so the idea here is that death through sin, death entered because of sin. We understand that. Notice the next part, Duffield and Van Cleve again said this or wrote this. Sickness entered the world through the sin of Adam and Eve. If humans who are made in the image of God had never sinned, they certainly would not have suffered pain, weakness, and disease in their bodies. Death is sickness matured. Therefore, sickness must also be the result of sin. If sin was not in the world, there would be no sickness. How many of you can see that? Amen? You understand that correctly? Correct? Amen? All right, now. We're going to just give you some more things. Am I giving you too much at once? I pray not. But notice what else Menzies and Horton said. Hopefully you can read that. I wanted to fit it on one screen, one frame. It says this. They wrote this. Sickness and its eventual consequence, death, is surely a penalty for sin from Genesis 2:17. But one must be careful not to make the mistake of assuming that all sickness and every death is the direct consequence of an immediate personal sin. Sickness is in the world because of sin, but Jesus recognized that the curse on humankind is general, afflicting people regardless of personal righteousness or sin. Luke 13, 1-4. Then going on, sin may be involved, as in the case of the man Jesus healed at the pool of Bethesda. Jesus warned him to stop sinning in John 5:14. On the other hand, Jesus made it clear that neither the man born blind nor his parents had sinned. Jesus indicated that in such cases, the healing was simply an opportunity to display the work of God in the blind man's life. And that's found in John 9:1-3. And you can also see it in Mark chapter 2 and verse 12. And so what's he saying? He's saying that sickness entered the world due to sin, but that doesn't mean that if you're sick, you sinned personally, right? It just means that this principle, this sin principle is in the earth since the fall of mankind. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so, you know, because we have mortal bodies, it seems that our mortal bodies are sometimes attacked with that curse that's in this world called sickness. And therefore, sometimes we get sick. But the Bible tells us as believers in Christ, we can resist that sickness. Just like we resist sin, we can resist sickness and disease. Are you hearing me here? Amen. And so we don't just lie down and say, oh, this is just normal human experience to get sick. No, I refuse that, because we're not just mere human beings. We're sons and daughters of Almighty God if we've accepted Christ as our Lord. Amen. And so just because the world can expect sickness and disease in their lives, you and I need to realize that we've been redeemed. You're going to see it more, and that we can resist those things in Jesus' name. Now notice now, as we look at some other things with this, sickness is called satanic oppression. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, now some things maybe you've heard before, but again, we need ourselves to be reminded of these things, build up these things, and then also there's people here today that have never heard this. And I said this before, but how many of you are so glad the preacher at any given time shared something that he knew many already had heard, but shared it on that particular time, not knowing that you had not heard it, but yet you needed to hear it, even though others had already heard it many times, right? Did I make that clear? Hopefully I did. So sickness is called satanic oppression. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Notice the word oppressed. Everybody say oppressed. Notice he healed those who were oppressed of the devil. What does that tell us? That tells us in this context that this is Peter preaching, by the way. Peter is saying that sickness, which is the opposite of healed, was an oppression of the devil. Because Jesus healed people that were oppressed of the devil. Now notice now, the word oppressed, we're going to define it. It means this: to exercise harsh control over one, to use one's power against one. And so up on the screen, I wrote this: Jesus healed those who were under the, quote, harsh control of the devil. So sickness is the harsh control of the devil, or we could say it's the devil using his power against people. Now, I'm not going to say to you, because it's not really biblical, I'm not going to say to you that every time you're sick, that means directly Satan is involved. But indirectly, he is always involved indirectly, because he's the author of it. Are you following what I'm saying? All right, now directly, sometimes directly. And we're going to see an example, at least one example of that in the Scriptures. But I'm not saying that every time we're sick, it's directly Satan attacking us or one of his minions or whatever. But I am saying that he being the author, it's still something that we resist in Jesus' name. Is this making sense to you? All right? And so again, he takes great pleasure in afflicting God's people one way or the other. And so again, Jesus healed those who were under the harsh control of the devil, according to Acts 10 and verse 38. Notice how the New International Version reads it. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. That's the NIV. The Holman Christian Standard Bible reads this way: how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were under the tyranny of the devil, because God was with him. How many of you know Satan is a tyrant? And so here, this translation, I looked it up in the Greek, and it's legitimately translated as tyranny as well, without any problem whatsoever. And so the tyranny of the devil, sickness is referred to here as the tyranny of the devil. Now, I want to say this to you as well, and understand this, that Jesus gave you and I authority over Satan and his cohorts. In Jesus' name, we have authority, don't we? Jesus said, for example, in Matthew chapter 28, one of the records of his great commission, he said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Go therefore, teach all nations, making disciples of them, and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And lo, I'm with you always unto the end of the age. He said in Mark chapter 16, beginning with verse 15 down through verse 20, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that does not believe shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. You got to believe in his name, which means you believe in his authority. And so you invoke his authority. When you invoke the name of Jesus, you're invoking his authority. It says, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall what? They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall cast out demons, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. And so we understand that's for believers who believe in the authority of his name, the authority of his name. And so when we pray in his name, or when we speak to, let's say, a sickness in his name, how many of you know we're speaking it with his authority? It's as if he himself was coming against that sickness when we have faith in his name. Is everybody with me? And if you remember now in Acts chapter 4, we're not going to turn there today, but this comes to my mind. In Acts chapter 4, John and Peter had just ministered to a man, a lame man, and he had gotten up. He'd been begging alms for years and years at the gate beautiful, at the beautiful gate. And they prayed for him, and he rose up, and he jumped, leaped, praised God, and went into the temple. People were amazed. Religious leaders didn't like it. And so they brought them up on the carpet, so to speak, and said, by what authority have you made this man whole? And what did they respond? Basically, the gist of it was that faith in this Jesus whom you crucify, faith in his name has made this man whole who stands before you now. And so faith in that name means faith in his authority, still working through the apostles and still available to all those who will believe. Is everybody here? And so we see, first of all, concerning the origin of sickness, it is an oppression. It's considered an oppression of the devil. And then in addition to that, it is also called a satanic bondage, a satanic bondage. Now, if you have a Bible, I want you to look at the first reference here in Luke chapter 13. Are you doing okay? I'm going to end soon. I'm only about not even halfway through my message, but we've got time because you're going to come back next week, right? How about the rest of you? You're going to come back next week, right? See, you remember the old, I guess it's all right. You know, I'll age myself. How many of you remember the old Batman series? How many of you know they left with a cliffhanger sometimes? Say, we'll be back next week. Same bat time. Same bat channel, right? All right? She's older than I am. She remembers it better than I do. All right. She's 6 days older than I am. Hallelujah. So did you find Luke chapter 13 yet? If you did, say yes. Luke chapter 13, beginning with verse 10, it reads this way. It says, now he was teaching in one of the synagogues, Jesus, of course, on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity. Everybody see that? She had a spirit of infirmity. Now, this is the example I mentioned kind of briefly to you about sometimes it is directly a demonic spirit when somebody is sick. This could have been translated and is translated sometimes in some translations as a spirit of sickness. This woman had a spirit of sickness or a spirit that caused her to be bent over. And so as it reads on, she had been that way for 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. You're loosed, we could say, from your sickness, he said. And he laid his hands on her and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, and he said to the crowd, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day. I'm going to read further in this passage, but can you imagine? I'm always astounded at this. The hardness of that religious heart. They witness a miracle, a healing miracle, and all they're concerned with is their tradition. All they're concerned with is their religion. Oh, you healed on the Sabbath day. He basically acknowledged the woman was healed. Wouldn't logic say, wow, she was healed. It must be God's okay with healing on the Sabbath. But for some reason, their hardness of heart, it's just amazing to me. As this reads on in verse 15, you'll notice it reads, the Lord then answered him and said, hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, notice, so ought not this one being a daughter of Abraham whom Satan has bound. Think of it, for 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath. And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame and all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. You know, when we read that, we understand that the majority of people, when they witness a true miracle, a true healing, they rejoice. It gets people's attention, doesn't it? And many times they realize, you know what, I want that God. I want that God who still does miracles. I want that Savior. I see that He is indeed alive and He still cares about me. He cares about people. He cares about the human state, if you will. And so praise God, this demonstrates His love, His compassion when people are healed, doesn't it? Amen? Amen. And so notice it says Satan had bound her. Notice also that phrase, being a daughter of Abraham. What did that mean? He's saying basically this woman is a covenant woman. This woman's in covenant, in the Abrahamic covenant. Of course, this was before Jesus went to the cross. The new covenant had been established yet. But she was a covenant woman. And so should not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, a covenant woman, in that covenant of Exodus chapter 15, where it read, as we read it, that I am the Lord that heals you. She's in that covenant. Should she not be healed whom Satan has bound? Isn't that right? Again, you and I have a better covenant than even she had. And so should not we be healed if we're bound by sickness and disease as well, in the name, by the authority of the healer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then lastly, the last thing that we see about sickness and disease is that sickness is always called a curse and never a blessing in the Bible. And you know, we're not going to take time to go through all of this, at least not today, but it's always referred to as a curse. Never in the entire Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is sickness and disease referred to as a blessing. And yet I have heard, maybe you have heard people say, oh, you know, this sickness, it was such a blessing because I got closer to God while I was sick. Well, you know, that's all good and well. I'm glad you got closer to God, but wouldn't it be better if you got closer to God when you're feeling well? Yeah. And you know, a lot of people, it doesn't work that way. A lot of people get bitter toward God when they're sick. They don't get closer to God. But nowhere in the Scripture, and how many of you would agree with me, and I think most of you will, that we don't determine our doctrine by our experience or our lack of experience. We determine what we believe by the Word of God, and the Word of God never shows sickness and disease as a blessing. It's always seen as a curse. Amen? Always seen as a curse. And now notice now this, Galatians 3, 13 through 14. What's it read? It reads this way. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Notice it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Back where I was before, it reads in Deuteronomy 28, you can write down those verses, all sorts of sicknesses and diseases, and that is referred to as the curse of the law. And so if you read all those sicknesses and diseases, remember, Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So you know what? You get attacked with sickness and disease. No, you say, no, wait a minute. I've been redeemed by the blood. I've been redeemed by the blood out from under that curse. And so I rebuke that sickness in the name of Jesus. Now, I understand, and most of you understand, that in our lives on earth right now, we get a foretaste of heaven. You know, we're also delivered from sin, the power of sin, as well as forgiveness of sin. But how many of you know that in eternity, we're going to be free from even the temptation of sin? In a similar way, you and I, right now, we are redeemed from the curse of the law, sickness and disease. But in eternity, we're not even going to have sickness and disease attack us. Amen? So ultimately, we're all going to be well in body with a resurrected body. Amen? But here on earth, we get a foretaste. We get a foretaste as we receive that in Jesus' name. Now, redeemed, the word redeemed means this. It means to buy out of the hands of a person or to redeem or to set free. So we could say it that way, Christ has set me free from the curse of the law. Healing the body is a part of Christ's work of redemption. And we're going to have to pick up there next time where we talk more about scripturally how the Bible makes it very clear that Jesus took the penalty for our sin and then also all the consequences of sin coming into humanity back in the garden. All the consequences. He reversed that and therefore we are healed as well because sickness and disease is the child of the sin nature that came into the earth. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Amen? And so He reversed the curse. Say, I'm redeemed. In fact, let's say this together. You'll have to repeat it after me. I do have it, but it's a few frames away from here. Say this with me if you believe it. If you don't believe it, don't say it. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I forbid any sickness or any disease to come upon this body. Any disease, germ, or virus that touches this body dies instantly in the name of Jesus. Every organ and every tissue of my body functions in the perfection to which God created it, and I forbid any malfunction in my body in the name of Jesus. Now stand with me and let's thank Him for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank You, Lord. Redeemed by the blood. Redeemed out from under that curse. In Jesus' name. We thank You, Lord, for healing. We thank You for wellness. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Now, you know, I say that often. I say that almost every day because I believe it's in line with Scripture. Now, you know, some people speak against this idea of positive confession. We're not talking about positive confession. We're talking about speaking and confessing God's Word. If you confess His Word and confess His promises that are applied to you from the Scripture, not just anything, but applied to you, then you can't go wrong because you're just saying what God said. Does that make sense? And you're getting it into your heart, and it's part of meditating on the Word of God. And the Bible talks about meditating on the Word of God, that you might get it into your heart and make it a part of you, get your mind renewed. And so again, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I forbid any sickness or disease to come upon this body. Any disease, germ, any virus that touches this body dies instantly in the name of Jesus. And every organ and every tissue of this body functions in the perfection to which God created it to function. I forbid any malfunction in this body in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And so we stand on that. We fight the good fight of faith. And I know all of us at one time or another get attacked with sickness and disease. But my main thing is this. Don't just lie down and take it, but fight the good fight of faith and apply the Word of God in Jesus' name. Go to the doctor if you need to. We believe in the natural and the supernatural coming together. Amen. No problem with that at all. They're fighting the same sickness as we are. And so there's no problem with that. But you know what? Be believing God and always put your trust in God, in Jesus Christ, and not in the doctor in that term. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You and we praise You that Jesus is our healer, that He's still Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. We thank You for that. And Father God, I pray that as we delve into the Word of God some more, Father God, we're going to get our minds renewed to this, Father God, that we're going to be believing You like we've never believed You before, and therefore receiving like we've never received before. We're going to be testifying of Your goodness and Your mercy and Your compassion as we receive healings, miracles in our bodies, Father God, in our minds, in our souls, in our brokenhearted aspects as well, Father God. We thank You that Jesus is the healer of the whole person, Father God. And Father God, we thank You for opening up our eyes to these things and helping us to be settled in these things and immovable and unshakable in the fact that Jesus is not only our Savior, but He's also our healer. Hallelujah. Now let's just remain in a reverential attitude toward the Lord right now. If you're here today, we never want to end a service without giving this opportunity. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says today is the day of salvation, which implies that tomorrow could be too late. You could breathe your last. You could have, your heart could stop. And you know, it's young people as well as old. I've read, and I'm sure many of you have read every day, it seems like, a young person in their 20s. I just read this past week, two or three well-known, I guess, I don't know them, but celebrities of some sort died young, unexpectedly. Your life could end any moment, especially when you don't live for Jesus. But you don't want to take that risk because there's no limbo. There's no purgatory. That's not biblical. You make the decision. You make your choice here in this life. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I've sinned. You've sinned. I deserve hell. And so does every one of us deserve hell. But the good news of the gospel is that we don't have to get what we deserve because God demonstrated His love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He took the punishment, the judgment that I deserved and that you deserved. So if we'll receive what he did for us, we'll be forgiven. And so in case there could be even one here today, you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you come up front. But would you let me know, and more importantly, you show the Lord that you're serious about it. Would you just lift your hand and let's all pray together this prayer of receiving Christ, lest there be even one here today who's never received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. All right, I don't see any hands. And so we're just going to pray this prayer as we normally do for the sake of those that might watch otherwise and also for the sake of those that should have raised their hands that didn't. But this is based on the scripture that I gave you a while ago in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So let's just pray this if you believe it. God in heaven, I thank you that Jesus loved me so much that he died for me. He took the judgment, the punishment that I deserved so I could be forgiven. And so today, I turn from sin, and Lord, I turn to you. I confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I believe with all my heart that he not only died, but he rose from the dead, and he's alive. Lord, come live in me. Take my life and make it what you will. And with your help, from this day forward, I will live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give God thanks, shall we? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, if you prayed that kind of prayer for the first time, you need to let somebody know. We're going to have prayer partners coming up here in a moment. In fact, Jeff and Ellen, if you could come, I'll have you be prayer partners as you offered that. And if you need prayer for anything, they know how to pray the prayer of faith for you. But if you prayed that prayer to accept Christ, come and let them know you prayed that prayer. They've got some things to give you to help you along the way. It's only the beginning. You know, I heard a preacher say this, and sometimes I've said it, but I've not said it consistently. You know, just because you prayed that prayer, I'm not going to promise you that you've got eternal life. The reason why I say that is because I don't know what's in your heart. If you just prayed that prayer like a parrot can pray that prayer without meaning, without, just being genuine about it, then you didn't receive eternal life. But if you prayed that prayer and meant it, you meant it, then the Bible makes it clear you received eternal life. Amen? And so we can rejoice in that. You're a new creature in Christ. But now you need to grow. You need to continue in the Word of God. You need to continue in church, whether it's this one or another one. It's got to be a Bible-teaching church so that you can grow in your knowledge of Him. Amen? And get closer to Him. So come and talk to them if you prayed that prayer, if you need prayer in any other area. And I know that they can help you as well. We love you. Thank you for coming today. And be believing God. I'm believing God for increase in healings, manifest notable miracles, which cannot be denied, as the book of Acts talks about. Amen. And why? Well, number one, God loves people and wants them well. And number two, God wants to show the world that Jesus is alive. Muhammad's dead. Buddha's dead. But Jesus is alive. Amen? Amen. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Now stay for fellowship if you can. There's good coffee out there. Amen.
We hope that you enjoyed this message and that you were truly blessed by it. If you'd like to support the ministry of Abounding Grace Christian Church, there are three ways to give. If you'd like to give online, go to our website, agcc.church, and look for the green tab on the top that says Give Online. You can also text to give by texting the amount to 518-670-4334. Or download the My Church website giving app. Find our church by searching our zip code 12303, then create an account. No gift is too small, and we really appreciate all that you give. God bless you.